Thank you, guys. That was awesome. If you've got any questions about worship and just what God does, if please don't hesitate to chat to me. Or if you've experienced something during worship, come and chat to me afterwards. I'd like to pray through it, share it. Because God definitely doesn't speak through one or two people. He speaks through His whole congregation. He speaks through His whole body. In different times, in different ways. So please come and share whatever the Lord lays on your heart. We are busy with a fair bit of faith. We're doing a series on faith, as you guys know. And I've been challenged, ironically, in the area of faith this last couple of weeks. Who would have known? About God is faithful. And it's really been an awesome time, even though it's been a bit of a stretch here and there. I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to try not to be too long. And we're going to pray for our projector as well. Father God, we thank you for projectors. Thank you for church. Thank you for people. Thank you for hearts. And above all, thank you for your Son and who you are and for your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that as Paul states in one of the Corinthian books, that our faith will not be based on any man's words, but on your Holy Spirit and power, and obviously the words of Christ. So we just ask that you'll come and flood our hearts with faith in this season. And where it's a simple message, Father God, but yet a very profound one this morning, I pray that it will not escape any heart. And anything that would like to be contrary to this or come against it, we just say thank you that you just annul that. That we will catch hold of what you are giving us in the Spirit, in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. Amen. Today's message is full faith. We're obviously trusting God to be people of full of faith. Not to be weird, not to be all psyched up, not a soulish thing, but to have a faith, a confidence in God. And the message, or the sermon title is very, very simply relationship. So you guessed it, what we're going to talk about today. Now, just to sum up very briefly, you can go to the next slide. Francisco, thanks. The last couple of weeks, we've been busy with about four parts. Up until now, we said that why should we be talking about faith? Isn't it something that's part and partial about any religion? And why should we actually come to a place where we chat about faith? Now, firstly, it's very important for salvation. That just determines your eternal destiny and where you're going to end up. So, salvation is important. Relationship, it's a fact of. A matter of pleasing God, in fact. As we said in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith you cannot please God. Now, pleasing God sounds all religious, yet if you think about a loving father, how much I would love to please my earthly father, and you know him as such, this does not sound that religious. But we're moving on. We want to be a people full of faith, and when Jesus returns, as we've seen in Luke, will he find faith? If he walks into Jenny's home, if he walks into Chris and Lindy's home, he has a peek inside. Will he find faith? Will he find people full of faith for God? When Johan shared with us, the just shall live by faith. In other words, we will live by it. It will be our relationship fuel. We will run on faith. Faith in God. Faith in the unseen. Why do we do what we do? All of us are sitting here because of the unseen. Most of us, hopefully all of us, have so much trust in the unseen that it actually is more important than the seen. Or the perspective is that the unseen, what we believe along with the scripture and the revelation and the experience. Remember, if you're in any religion, but especially, and obviously for Christianity, but if it goes and it's only a head thing and there's no experience whatsoever, then you're wasting your time. If I say, yeah, Ralph is a really good friend of mine, but he doesn't experience that. I've never WhatsApped him. We've never shared a Coke or a coffee. or anything stronger. We've never watched a rugby game together. We haven't prayed together. We haven't even had a fight. Have we had a fight? We haven't wore skinny jeans together. We haven't used beard oil together. Then I'm busy with something else and I'm wasting our time, and especially his. So the just shall live by faith. And last week we said to one another, for nothing will be impossible with God. Who believes that? You three. Awesome. All of you. For nothing will be impossible for God. And then we said that the key is there is, faith is like a handle for my hope. It's just what I hold on to whilst I'm hoping for a healing, or hoping for a baby that comes out perfectly, or hoping for something to be restored in my life physically or emotionally or materially. But our hope, we need to be careful about our hope. It's something we heard this over this weekend. We must be careful for what we hope for. Am what I hoping for something that I found from God, something that was birthed from God, or am I hoping for something that was born out of my flesh, and my own wants and needs and my own desires that is not God's? So sometimes we need to take our hope and say, man, I really want this big farm, or I really want this nice bucky, or I really want something that seems very good, but it's not godly. And just take it to God and say, Lord, I've got this hope. This is actually your heart for me. Because we said in that scripture, for nothing will be impossible, and the key there was with God. This world is full of people with hope. On Saturday afternoon, there was a couple of guys with light blue jerseys on, walking into Tops or walking into the Spar to buy a couple of choppies, to buy something to drink maybe, light the fire and watch the rugby. They had a hope. There was a blue bull either on this side or that side of the jersey. There was a tanny walking around making braai broekies, and everything was nice. There was excitement, electric excitement in the air, because they had a hope that the Bulls will beat the Lions in a rugby game. So they had a hope. Now, obviously, I said this tongue in cheek, and that hope was dashed. There was a couple of ugly jokes on Facebook, which I won't repeat here. But I say this tongue in cheek, but many a times we get, and we've got a lot of hope. These Blue Bull supporters had a massive hope. Sometimes as a Stormer supporter, I've got hope. And we ironically lost to the Blue Bulls, so actually don't have a foot to stand on. Why am I talking rugby? No, I'm talking hope. Guys, sometimes we've got a hope. Sometimes I'm sitting there, I'm drinking, hypothetically, you're sitting there, you're chowing down, you're drinking something, and those 15 guys are your hope, and if they win, I'm a winner. If they lose, I feel like a loser, and it's not true whatsoever. It's a very simple. That might be the job that you do. That might be the stuff that you've got planned, that might be the pension, and that might be the amazing little place that I've got in Hartenbosch, that one day when I'm 60 or 65, I'm going to go spend eternity in Hartenbosch. No, sometimes we've got a hope, we need to be careful. You just take that hope to God and say, Lord, let's just put this one in the fire. What's the fire? It's God's presence, it's God's words, it's God's spirit. And just say, Lord, come and test what I hope for. Some of us have experienced that sometimes your hope gets a bit tested. Edna said it in the week. What you think is unshakable gets shaken and sometimes destroyed, and you're like, God, what did you do? And he's like, I was actually protecting you. I was actually protecting you. But anyway, let's not repeat the whole of last week, even though it's much fun and it's something I'm passionate about. Today we're going to talk about relationship. And yes, Demi, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. And that does include your whole life as well, Christianity. It's not something I made up. It's just something biblically I'm repeating, something that I've seen in my life. When I throw my whole self at the ways of God, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, albeit in relationships, albeit in church, albeit in my inner room, that is what I reap. I say this with respect, but God's presence, God's fruit, God's love, God's voice does not come cheap. He paid the price of his son, firstly, which is massive. But God's presence, God's voice, God's word, God's rhema of word, word of word into our hearts does not come cheap. And he expects two people are in love and they're bound to get married. They're married already, so I can use the example. They're bound to get married. But Stephen is like halfway, maybe 25% into it, if Demi's lucky. Maybe on Fridays he's 25% into it, and the rest of the 12.5%, she's far off. She will not open up her heart, even her home, let alone be wed to him to open up her entire life to him, if that is the clear case. Yet we expect that from God. We rock up with hands full of bags of stuff of the world or stuff of our heart or even old hurts and nonsense and baggage, and we get to him and we're like, "Gimme drukkie." Like I said just now. Unfortunately, that is not the way. God says, no, come and lay down your entire life. If you want to keep your life, you will lose it. In other words, if you hold on to your stuff, if you hold on to what you think is a hope, if you hold on to these things, you're going to lose it. And yet, the word says, Jesus says, if you lose it for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of Jesus, you'll find it. It's a bit ironic, and it's very difficult to find it because I can tell you about it, but I cannot make that decision for you. I cannot say, hey, Renda, verloor jou lewe, laat het gaan vir die Here. Jy gaan het kry nie. En as Renda says, okay, cool, doen jy het geëerste. Spring jy gou. Nee, dit is diep, jy kan spring. Kop eerste, go for it. Okay, go. I can never do that on her behalf. And likewise, you can't on my behalf. What's faith? Let's just recap. Next slide, please. Faith is, we're repeating it so that we can remember, and so that we can actually grow in faith. Faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Reliance, dependence, hope, trust, belief. I'm in the process, or I was in the process of just trading in one of our vehicles and then getting another one, second-hand one. And there's different brands. Now, in every family here, and there might be some Toyota people, some Volkswagen people, some Jeep people around here, everybody will say yes to a particular brand. But you've got a confidence, a hope, a trust, a reliance upon that particular brand. Or, I'm not going to mention brands, but, or not. Now, this week I had to see, where's my trust, my belief? First I went to God, but secondly then, what do I trust and what do I believe in? Where do I have my confidence? And the question is here, hey guys, where's your complete trust, your confidence? Where's your reliance, dependence, and hope? The word says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance or the reality, some of the translations says. Faith is the reality of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As Christians, where should our hope be? Where should our confidence be? Where should it be, guys? In God. And that's a very nice, polite thing to say, especially if you sit in front of in church. That's the right thing to say in God. Maar wanneer die tekkie die deur slaan, when the pressure of life is on you, or when it's Friday night late and everybody's gone to bed and you're in front of the TV, or when you need to pay the bills at the end of the month, or whatever the case may be, when the pressure's up, that question still beckons, that question still comes in and knocks at your door. Where is my faith, my trust, my confidence and reliance? Now I love how God just uses life actually to teach us about himself. It's not this weird, super spiritual being hovering around somewhere in the sky just above the skyline. No, he uses life, which he gave us, to tell us a lot of things about him. Now, where in life, except for the fact that when you buy a car or clothing, where do you find faith, confidence, reliance, and dependence? Where do you find faith in life other than in God? Anything? Family, yes. Anything else, guys? Money. Ooh. For sure. Career. Yes, you find faith. Where else, guys? In your man. Aww. In a husband. Some of us find faith in Willem. Great stuff. In your intellect. Yes. Sport. Yeah. Die blauwbel oom, wat vanochtend rechtig. Hy is vanochtend in die kerk. En sy idol het geval gisteraan. Now he can come to the real God. Got nothing against the Blue Bulls, most of the times. But just want to make that clear, it's just an honest, hypothetical picture. But in life, faith many times is found in relationships. Is there faith in your relationships, guys? Chris has got a couple of relationships in his life. In some of them there's faith, in some of them less faith. Am I right? And I'm not talking to you. Remember, he's in business and he's got a lot of contacts. So in some areas of his life, there's a lot of faith in certain relationships. Confidence, trust, reliance. Why? How long have you guys been together? Together. How many? 6. Early days. Early good days. Philip, how long have you guys been together, if I'm asked? 42. Married or known each other for 42 years? Married 41 years. Is it? Hey, Sue, she carried thee. But he saw a godly wife and almost 42 years. Not then. Okay, he was a prophetic man of faith. Come on. Give me some slack. I'm trying to paint a picture. Long story short, there's an amount. Obviously, there's stuff that's not always perfect. We're married ourselves. But in that relationship, there is faith. In that relationship, there's faith. There's a certain reliance. There's a certain confidence. There's a certain reality sometimes that, as Edna said the other day to me, when I walked in and said, yeah, I had this awesome time with somebody that ministered to me. And she said, yeah, you can't drive out a personality, can you? And that was a reaction towards me. But she said that hopefully jokingly. But there's certain things that you also realize, and in that you build a certain trust. She knows where she stands with me in all areas I believe in life. And likewise, Philip and Sue. They've been married for 42 years. Who's worked at a place for longer than 10 years? At the same place? How long? God, that would be a good... Jenny, how long have you worked there? 20 years. And was that Mediclinic, eh? City Council Clinic. But even there, in the world, a certain amount of trust gets formed. A certain amount of belief. They obviously believed in her. She worked there longer than 20 years. And likewise, she knew that month in, month out, there was a certain reliance, a certain confidence that if I do my work well, I'll get paid. Hopefully you did. It seems like you did, so that's good. And she did not leave. But a confidence, a faith gets built in relationships. All of us are fathers and mothers. Some of them still alive, some of them unfortunately not. Some of us knew them very well, some of us did not know them at all. But luckily for us, by God's grace, sometimes there's a beautiful picture of a father and a son, or a father and a daughter, or a mother and a daughter, which have known each other for 60 70 years, 50, 60, or 70 years. And there's a lot of faith built, as Edna said, with regards to family. There's a lot of faith, reliance, trust built over years within that relationship. Now, why am I saying all of this? It's not very different with God. If we were to use the same terms, firstly, if you had to work for God, which you don't, if you had to be a son, which you are, if you were to be married to God, hypothetically speaking, you would love to be in the boat of somebody that's been doing that for 50, 60, and 70 years. And it's needed, and we need to know that faith grows as relationship grows. Just to make sure that in this snuggly clothes of yours, wintry clothes of yours, just to make sure that we remember this, let's just quickly repeat that. Faith grows as relationship grows. I'm going to ask you to say that. Faith grows as relationship grows. Sounds a bit weird if we do it, but it's just good to remember that, guys, your faith in God's going to grow as your relationship in God grows. It's not rocket science, but it's so profound because it will change your life and it can change your destiny. Your faith in God will grow as your relationship with God grows. It can also even be seen the other way around. Myself and Pietri, we walk a road and we've known each other for 2 years, but if it should become 20 years, we've already have an amazing trust relationship, or at least from my side, I've got the mic. But if it's 20 years, how much the better? There'll be a couple of times we can take out our swords and we sort something out. There will be times where we're in God's presence, where we see somebody healed, where we see somebody get raised in their calling, where somebody gets discipled, where amazing stuff in the kingdom happens, and that builds faith, reliance, and confidence. It's part and parcel. It's not the only way that faith gets built, but it is a way, a key to faith and building faith with God. If you say to me, before you say to me anything, let's look at scriptures. Let's look at David. That was a man full of confidence, full of faith towards the Lord, but he had a real relationship with God. He had a real relationship with God. Let's look at a couple of scriptures just to highlight that. Psalm 9 verse 10 says, "And they that know your name will put their trust in you." Know your name? Obviously, everybody knows God's name these days, but they don't necessarily put their trust. I think he means it much more personal than that. They that know you as I am. They that know you as Abba Father. They that know you as Dad. They will put your trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken them that seek you. That's beautiful. If you really seek God, he will not forsake you. But you need to put down your bags. You need to pull a Demi and throw yourself wholeheartedly in there. If you truly seek him, you will find him. As Chris said, what you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. Psalm 13:5 said, "But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." And what happens there? I've trusted in your mercy. But he says that in your mercy, he speaks to him directly. Now, we're in a culture where it's quite nice that you know you can communicate with God directly through Christ Jesus. You don't need to come to me. Praise God for that. You can come to me for other stuff. But you don't have to come to me to talk to God. Maybe there's some people that still religiously believe that, but you do not. I'm not a higher spiritual being. In fact, I think I'm probably more broken. That's why God picks me, because he makes his strength perfect in weakness. So it's not a case of having a certain guru or guy, spiritual guru or guy that you need to talk to. You can speak to him personally. Psalm 27 says, "Some trust in chariots." Now, you can put in chariots there. I'd like to play around with this, but I don't want to step on toes. But some may put their trust in chariots and some in horses. Now, there again, you can put what's in your bags, guys. Some may trust in chariots and horses. What's in your bags? You know, the Holy Spirit will tell you. Some may trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Then he said, some believe in money. Some believe in worldly relationships. Firstly, over and above God's ones. Some believes in, and I'm not against Excel spreadsheets and budgets, but some believe more in Excel spreadsheets and budgets than in the work of God, the grace of God, and the will of God. Does that make sense to anybody? Go to the next one. Daniel 11:32 says, "But the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits." The thing is, if the pawpaw hits the fan in your life, if things are going smooth sailing now and everything is fine, everything is in its place, I've got this in place, I've got that in place, I'm quite comfortable, this need not matter. But if the pawpaw hits the fan, if something goes wrong, and we're not living in reaction to bad things happening, I'm just sketching a scenario that we need to be aware of. Because many times when the pressure comes, that's where your true state of heart comes out. We heard it over the weekend. It's quite cool. But if you are strong in God and the things around you are shaken, if you're strong in God and strong in the fact that you do know him, strength will come from that. Through relationship, you get to know God. And through getting knowing God, you'll become strong in him. Psalm 31:14, "But I trusted in you, O Lord. I said to you, you are my God." So David clearly knew God. And who knows what David went through? Much worse than any of us. Much more persecution. They were chasing him, trying to kill him. Saul was trying to kill him. Thousands of guys and soldiers on behalf of Saul were trying to kill him the whole time. He fought bears, lions, he fought Goliath, etc. And He was a guy that could have had a bit of fear, but he did not, because he knew his God. I'm not going to read all of the rest, but just that last one, Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Quick testimony. I traded in one of our vehicles. We got a new one. It was all done in prayer. I'm not saying you have to do this. Am I hearing you? I'm not saying any of you guys need to do this. I'm saying testifying of what that God does in my life. Why did I do that? Petri would ask. Petri challenges me on these things. Because Petri and I don't always think 100% the same, which is a good thing. Petri can learn. I'm joking. We can learn. We learn a lot from each other. That's just really tongue-in-cheek. But he challenges me on these things that I say. So why did I do that? Simply because I'm a child of God. Why am I saying all of this weird stuff? I was driving around in the vehicle about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, and I asked God, God, how long are we going to have this vehicle? 5 years, 10 years? There's a certain area of the vehicle that really I do not like, but it's not about vehicles in this world. It's not about having a nice car or not having a nice car. It's just about being a good steward. And I said, Lord, as your son, wasn't my words, but that's my heart, as your son, how long should I drive this vehicle? Because, you know, why should I ask God this? Because I've learned when I do things on my own, I stuff it up. I'm not as responsible as the rest of you. When I had my life in my own hands, I really wrecked it. In fact, I get the bucky off geskryf ook. So I really wrecked my life when I had it in my own hands. That's why I asked my father. So I asked him, and he clearly, I thought 5 or 10 years, he said to me, X amount of kilometers, clearly, just rammed it into my heart. How does that work? I just see it in my mind, and then I test it with my accountability partner and with Edna, and I say, well, this is what God said to me. And so obviously that kilometers came up last week, and I'm like, okay, cool, now's the time to sell the vehicle. Does the world, the market, or anybody else there, or a lot of people out there do it the same way? No, I'm not expecting them to do it. But I'm trusting God, because I've learned that scripture in my life. That even if I do not understand everything now, He has blessed us. But even if I do not understand everything now, God knows better. He's not calling you to do anything else. I don't want everybody to phone me on Monday and say, I want a lackadaisical car. It's not about a lackadaisical car. It's about trusting God. It might have never been about the vehicle whatsoever. He wanted to see if I'm going to listen to Him, or am I going to trust money? Am I going to trust my culture? Because this is what my culture ascribes to me to do. And I don't have a cabriolet of a nice slap Mercedes, don't worry. It's a goeie gesinsmotor. But the bottom line is, I had to trust God because He was speaking to me. And that scripture came to mind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Now, as I said, along with the Word, along with the Spirit that spoke to me, and along with being accountable to those that I walk a road with. So sometimes God will, whatever you believe, the boxes that you have, the things that you tick, He might come and He'll ruffle that a bit. And you're like, Lord, this is how a budget should work. Or, Lord, this is how I should discipline my daughter or my son. And God, this is how you should be with your in-laws. And Lord, no, this is how in-laws should be with me. And obviously everybody shouts for the stormers, and obviously everybody likes it, the Otabaki. That's just how it is. But God loves to come with cultural idols, that cultural lies that we believe. And yes, you have to have this and this and this and that in our culture. God sometimes comes and just ruffles that. Who's experienced seasons of that? Who's experienced seasons of that where God just comes and just messes with your culture? He messes with your Christianity. He messes with your religion. Thanks, Stephen. Sometimes God comes and He messes with your religion. And that hurts. Only for a while. But as soon as you let go, it becomes quite free. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now I can really testify about all of that. Now how do we take this all together? Faith, relationship. Why am I telling you about the car? It's not about the car. If in 2004, firstly, you told me a couple of things that I would go through, a couple of stages I'll be in my life, and a couple of things will happen to me that is not culturally astute or not culturally or might be culturally frowned upon. If you said that to me in 2004 when I gave my life to the Lord entirely, I would have said, you're probably on something. Have you seen somebody for help? Or I would have said, there's no way that I would like that or would love to do that or would do that. But God had grace. He didn't come down and condemn me about thinking this about money or thinking this about being a lawyer or thinking this about a vehicle, thinking this about culture, or thinking this about relationship, or even my wife. She's not out yet, but I'll tell you. Joke, Nate. He didn't condemn me in 2004, but he was a loving father, and he gently took me on the journey. Guess what? I'm not done. I'm not done by far. But I'm glad I'm here, where I'm now, than where I was in my mind and in my heart in 2004. Believe you me, there's a bit of a difference. So God comes, and through relationship, he builds faith. He doesn't just tell me, sell the car an X amount of kilometers if I have got no relation to that at all. If I do not understand it, he built it up. Slowly but surely, he'll drop seeds in your heart. Hey man, just ask Willem how he's doing. Or you've got two butternuts, why you just don't give them one butternut? Or whatever the case may be, and slowly but surely he builds things into your life and he stretches you in so that you can grow in faith in the area that he wants you to be strong, that you will trust him completely. If you tell me, Retief, I've got no faith, go to the next slide. Thank you. If you tell me, Retief, I've got no faith, guess what? It's not a problem. If you tell me, Retief, I've got a little faith in certain areas, I've got faith that God will give us a nice camping spot at Hermanus this holiday. I'm like, that's a start. We can start with that. Don't you want to lose your life and go to Saudi Arabia? No. I'm looking for a nice camping spot at Hartenbos. Okay, great. But we can start with that. Have faith and confidence and trust in God and be willing to grow. So I've got a little faith. Or you can tell me, Retief, I really have great faith. It's a gift of God. I've got great faith. It's what I'm sharing with you now is not rocket science, but guys, it is important. Please take note and go to the next slide. I do believe that if you tell me I've got no faith concerning God, I'm not going to tell you, but I believe that you've got no relationship with God. If you tell me, what do you say, Petri? Thank you, Petri. At least I know you'll be back next week. Praise God. If you tell me I've got a little faith, I can muster a little faith and it's in this area, I'll tell you, well, there's probably a little relationship. If you tell me I've got great faith, I look at Angus Bucket. I'm like, wow, man. I look at the guys that shared this weekend. You don't know them. They're not the names. They're not the best sellers. They don't have books. They don't have their own portfolios and stuff on or Google or on Facebook or anything. No, they're ordinary men like and women like me and you, but with extraordinary lifestyles, extraordinary faith, because they've got extraordinary relationships with God. And if we say this to one another, and if we're honest, there's no condemnation, guys. But there's at least a place where I say, well, Ralph, can you not? Will you actually look in? Can us work more fun? Okay, he's thinking about it. In that case, Ari Parkheid, thank you, Ralph. You look at minority, but for the rejection. But I need to start somewhere. Just at least say, God, I'm willing. I don't have to be a faith guru, but God, I just want to start. Let's forget about faith, but I want this relationship thing. If this is real, I want it. And the faith will be the fruit of it. It's a gift of God, but it will come as you decide, as Demi said, to throw yourself into it and to the way in which you wholeheartedly say, Lord, I want to grow in relationship. Your faith will grow. And by the way, selling your car is not a great faith thing. Maybe in some Western cultures, but there's guys that are, hulle vreet klippe vir die koninkryk. Peter is so full of faith. It's so full of the joy of the Lord. Stephen was there being stoned. He was on his way to heaven. He said, Lord, forgive them. That's faith. Not selling your car, by the way. That's just a story. That's faith. Losing your life and realize, because what happened? You actually realize that the unseen is so much more real than the seen. You realize that this world is so, this life on this, this earth is so short compared to eternity, compared to reality. And that's what I want. That's what I would love to see. And I believe, obviously, that's what God would love to see. Now, quickly on relationship. We're saying, yes, faith and relationship might be going hand in hand. We're testing that. I believe it does. If you have relationship with God, solid relationship, faith is good. I'm not saying in all areas it can grow. There's areas that Edna's faith is stronger than mine, but praise God, He's put us together. So when I feel like I'm going to have a nervous breakdown, she says, come, stand up, man. Stand up. You're a soldier of the Lord. Have faith. Now, that's not how she does it. That's how I do it. But she says, when last you stilte tyd gehou? As you by die Here uitkom, is alles fine. That's more or less how we sort things out. But there's areas where she's really strong in faith and where I need to grow. Where her relationship has been opened up to revelation of who God is as a father. I love it to communicate with God. My real father really communicated well with me. We did not have a lot of money, so I had to grow concerning trusting God for finance and not have a poverty mindset. I grew up with my mother, only my mother, and she did not do brilliantly well, so I needed to get to know God well. She knew God very well in the area of affluency and having more than enough, or at least enough. She knew that because it was something she was taught, and she saw God, she had a revelation of it. So God will pair you up so that you can grow in faith. What type of relationship are we talking about here towards God? What if you should define the relationship that you have with God, what is it? Trust, yes. Love, yes. Word also speaks of either seeing yourself as a slave or a son. Now, I'm not going to try to unwind the thing too long. I'm just going to get to the point. Guys, your faith will also be built in how you see yourself. If I see myself as a slave towards God because I've got a bit of a religious mindset about it, again, no condemnation, but it is something we get worked out of our system. But if I've got a bit of a slave mentality towards God, my faith will grow to a degree, more as a slave than as a son. So we need to, before we say, yes, I want to move and I want to grow in faith, just double check that your identity is settled first. Let's look at Scripture. Scripture always helps. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. By the way, that's including both male and female, and it includes all of you. Adopted as sons. We all have been adopted. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. So many times, again, if you're under the law, if you move around, you say, I'm Christian, but more with a religious mindset, in other words, without real relationship, you'll be, the temptation is to act more like a slave than a son. And you'll see now why I say that. It's like, oh, can't do. Oh, but you will bet. Oh, mission. Oh. You have to do stuff. The son, funny enough, has a different mindset to them. So you are no longer a slave but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. In other words, you were carrying around the shopping bags. That is not of God. The slave things of this world, you're carrying around. Why? Because you do not know God. Because there's a slave mentality deep down in your heart, not a sonship heart. But now that you have come to know God, to know Him, you don't know. I didn't know Edna in an instant. Yes, I realized and I saw her for the first time. And boy, what a good day. But then I got to know her. What a good season. But I got to know her better. I didn't know her in that instant. Praise God, she didn't know me in that instant. We might not have been here if that was the case. But now that you have come to know God, you rather to, or rather to be known by God, so it goes both ways, you can. How can you turn back again to the weak and worthless and elementary principles of the world, those whose slaves you want to be once more? So in other words, he's saying, but you've become a son, why are you doing the stuff of the slaves? You know God, you've got a father, but why do you operate like a slave now? Why do you want to be enslaved to the stuff of the world if you've got a father? Now, before we grow in faith, we said this, we have to have a relationship, because if you've got, I believe, much relationship, much faith. But you need to know, define that relationship, make sure that you see yourself as a son. Because we're in a country where you're open to be anything that you want to, probably these days, but along the lines of religion, there's been a lot of religion since whenever. And in other words, it's been quite open, and unfortunately, sometimes the life gets sucked out of religion. The structures are there, everything is in place, but there's no life in it anymore. And you can go and check the relationship that I have with God. Is it either slave? Life has been sucked out. It's just an understanding. It's just a bit of an agreement from my side, at least. It's never God's heart that I should be a slave. But it's just a bit of an understanding, but the life has been sucked out. Or it's a knowledge that there is life, and that life is happening through this relationship. And we need to trust the Holy Spirit that we can quickly discern that before we even grow in faith. Now, what's the difference between slave and son? Slave, let's look at the expectation. The expectation of a slave is what? If I do, I get. If I do, we can say slave or arbeider, laborer. If I do X, Y, and Z for God, then I will get A, B, and C. That is the expectation of a slave. I do to get. The son, however, is saying, I am, so I get. The slave will say, I do, so I get. The heart of a son says, I am, so I get. And out of that love relationship, by the way, sons also do. But they don't do to get. They get because they are. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope so. May the Holy Spirit show you. A slave, many a times, will have a moment of entitlement. Because there's not relationship, there's many a times not communication. You tell me what to do, I go and do it, now wait. I don't get it. Then there's a sense of entitlement. Offense likes to creep in where there's a slave mentality. But how dare you? It's not a matter of grace. Saying, hey, but we're in a tight relationship. Just what's going on? And out of that relationship, out of love, you sort it out. No, it's a question of, but I did, so I expect. So entitlement sometimes comes in when you've got a bit of a slave mentality. Trust, obviously. Your trust as a slave is not in your relationship towards your boss. Say, Willem is my boss. It's not that me being his slave and him being my boss, my relationship is not based on the basis of my trust. What is the basis of my trust? My position. Because what can happen? Willem can decide, well, only if I'm empty. So you just get out of your position, and if I think for Ralph, and I just put Ralph in this position, and he'll have exactly the same thing. He'll just swap us over. That's what the world does with us. That's exactly what they do. So the trust is based, my trust is based upon the position, and as soon as I lose this position, I lose everything. Yet the son's trust is different. It's not to do with the position. The son's justice based on the relationship. It's not about what I do. It's not about the position. It's not a title. The son's trust comes from the relational being, the DNA. We share blood. But there's no changing that. You don't change me for another son. Oh, well, don't like what Retief is doing as a son of God? Well, no, we'll just put Yaku there in the place. That is not the God I serve. That is not the Father we serve. That's not the Father we follow. So the trust of a slave and the trust of a son differs. Hopefully the Holy Spirit is just enlightening something if there's a problem in the heart. Obviously, with a slave, there's fear. If I don't, I will not get. We're going to move swiftly now. Communication, we're going to get to just now. And then suffering. Suffering. Does slaves suffer? Yeah, so slave mentality, we're talking about faith, we're talking about relationship, we're saying, oh, we need to discern what relationship am I actually in with God, and we're saying now slaves, do they suffer? Yes, of course. Now the nice question is, does sons suffer? Does sons in the kingdom suffer? Yes, way. So there's suffering for both slaves and sons. The suffering of a slave is his fate. That is his destiny. This is important. Please note. Luister. The fate of a slave, the destiny of a slave is suffering. The suffering of a son leads to glory. The suffering of a son leads to glory. I'm going to refer to scripture now. That'll give you peace to your heart. I'm not making all of this up. Hopefully, most of it, not. But the suffering of a slave is his destiny. That's very close to his identity. But the suffering of a son leads to glory. One is tydelik. It's only for a while. Guys, I'd rather suffer now for a bit than believe you me in my life. It's not all suffering. There's a bit of suffering. In the Christian life, there is a bit of suffering. The Word says so. I might as well just face it and go through it now with my Father than having to say to try to save my own life now and suffer for eternity. The slave's suffering is his destiny or his fate. But the suffering of a son is glory. Jesus says, in this world you will suffer, but take heart, I have overcome. And then Romans 8 verse 17, I don't think it's on there. Romans 8 verse 17, and if you are children, then we are heirs. We are all heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And indeed, if we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. If you share in the family business now, you're going to share in the spoils of the family business later. That makes sense to us in this world. My dad's got a nice big farm and I decide, well, no, I want to go tour the world, waste everything out, and screw for your amal, then I'm not going to share in the glorification when the harvest comes, when they reap. But if I choose to say, no, this is truly my dad, I trust him, I have faith in him, because I've gotten to know him by grace, and I'm going to get to know him even better, and yes, there's going to be suffering, but I still know that with Christ, we're going to have some glory days coming up. Question is just this, are you a son or a slave? How do you see yourself? And just ask God, Lord, I want that sonship heart in all I do. How does this relationship grow? I'm just going to run through it because we need to finish up. I spend time with him. I realized, Edna said earlier, it wasn't about the fact that God said to us, move to Malmesbury. Because that was a massive moment in my life where I needed to decide, yes, I'm going to follow him. If he's told you to go and do that job or go and become a doctor, whatever. It wasn't that one time that God spoke to you, start your own business. Venture out and start your own business. For me, many a times the relationship gets built by the frequency, how frequently God communicates with you. It wasn't that one moment when I said to Frida, ek is trots op jou, gaan spring op die trampoline, that changed their life. No, it's the frequency in which I chat to her daily. Hundreds and thousands of times where I just constantly communicate with him. So when I do sell a car because God said so, it's not, good. It's a weird thing. It's just one of those things. There's literally nothing I wear. Please go and test it. This is my life. It's not yours. And I'm not enforcing it on anybody. But there's literally everything I wear. And I can go take you through my house. This is just materially because I think we can understand the picture. But there's nothing that God does not have a link with in my life, really. Not even relationships. I'm not a robot asking the whole time, but it's just a constant inner working. It's just a constant, it's a vessel werken. Just fun. Lord, we're in this together. I'm not alone. God, is this wisdom? Yeah, it is. Lord, do I have the liberty? Yeah, go for it. Or no. The things that I don't wear today, God said no for. The thing that I'm not driving, God said no to. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's relational. And so my faith gets built. And when the big stuff comes, it's very normal. God tells us tomorrow, you need to pack up and go. It'll be really sad. You need to go do X, Y, and Z. But if God does that, just like another day, you pack up and you go. You're growing from time spent, obedience. Obviously, when last have you not been obedient? Go back to that place and you'll remember what God said. You'll only move from the last time that you've been obedient. You share heart. There's amazing times of how you can just grow in relationship, grow in faith as you share heart with God. I was racking my brain this week to think of testimonies of where God spoke to me that you guys can learn something about relationship. And I could not do it. I could not really do it. And I was wondering, like, Lord, because I know there's 1,000 testimonies, why is it not coming up? With all due respect, how much can I really share about my intimate life with Edna to you? I'm talking communication, I'm talking sex, I'm talking whatever the package of intimacy is. How much of that I share with her can I truly share in your life to change your life or to give you a relationship with one of us? Nothing, not really much. I can say we've got awesome communication. I can give you pointers. But to taste the communication that we have and the way in which we connect, I cannot give that to you. That's how beautifully God created it. That's why your pastor, your dominee, or your cell leader, or your husband cannot have relationship with God on your behalf. He made it so beautiful. It's personal. There's ways in which God has spoken to me that I know it's Him, that I cannot explain to you. For you, it'll be like another language. You're like, what the hell? Yet, God will speak to Albert in a Gemsprok way that only a Gemsprok can hear. It's a bit of a cell joke, but there's a way in which God can speak to his heart that if he tells it to me, he'll feel stupid. But he's not stupid, because that's the way in which he and God can communicate. I hope you guys are getting my heart. It is relational. Let's end off. Stick to the Word, stick to the Holy Spirit, stick to God's people. There's a nice, if you put the three together, there's a nice sweet spot there in the middle. Cannot only be Word, cannot only be Spirit. Let's roll around, let's laugh. It cannot only be people, but you don't get into the Word, you don't get into the Spirit, you don't connect with God. To go and test these things, to go and test the things of God, we need all three in the balance that God gives us. And then lastly, communication. How do all of these relationships that we mentioned this morning grows by ways of communicating? Myself and Edna, when we didn't have children, we don't have this privilege anymore, would sit at a table or outside somewhere sometimes, and we can talk. Believe you, we can chat. I can chat like a girl. I can chat quite a bit. Don't use it against me, Peter. It's not a grappy. But we could sit for 2 or 3 hours and say nothing, yet spend amazing time together. She and her mother can still do it. I don't get it anymore. I've probably grown too old. But we had these times where we didn't say much, but there was a heck of a lot of communication. God wants to communicate with you. He sent his son. What we screwed up, he came and he fixed everything so that he can communicate with us, so that he can have a relationship with us, not via the church. Not via the cell group, not via your husband, not via. That all is part and partial. It forms part of the bigger picture. You can't throw any of that away. But he wants to communicate with us as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Romans 10 verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by the hearing, I just like the King James in this particular verse. So then faith cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith come. Faith can come to you. You can grab hold of faith. You can grow in faith. Faith can come to you by hearing. But that hearing is not ear alone. That hearing happens in the heart. Faith cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you can have faith when the word of God comes to your heart. Hopefully this morning, some of the word of God came to your heart. But this word here, if you go look in the Greek, is the rhema word of God. In other words, they're illuminated or lightened up of that word that just jumps to you. Listen to a song and that one verse just hits your heart. You read through scriptures and that one just jumps to you. You sit in your car, you meditate, and that vision just comes to you. It ramas, it illuminates. It's just, you don't know, but then you do know that it's of God. Faith comes by the hearing, hearing His voice. And hearing His voice, hearing Him, comes by His words spoken to you. And it can come in different shapes, forms, and sizes. But it is ramed into your heart that you know that is my Father. That is my Father's speaking. Guys, our faith can only be growing. We can only be people full of faith if we're full of relationship with God. We're only going to be full of relationship and full of faith if we communicate with our Maker. Don't be in a hurry. You don't have to get this right tomorrow. We're all going to grow in it. We've got time. If I look through, we all have a lot of time left. Thank you, God. We've got time. But let's not delay either. It's when we do approach and say, yes, I'm ready. I want to work on this communication thing. I want to get that faith to come settle in my heart. Make sure that you go at it as a son, not as a slave. Because otherwise, the slaves get hurt. But with the right heart, we're going to grant faith. Let's quickly stand and pray, if you don't mind. Yeah, just with all eyes closed, I believe God has done in our hearts what He wanted to do this morning. But just with all eyes closed, if you're either unsure or you just want God to reestablish your sonship, that sometimes you note by the fruit that I've mentioned, by the examples I've mentioned, that slave or slave mentality has crept into your Christianity. Just raise your hand and we're just going to pray about it. To God to just reinstall that sonship heart, that you don't see yourself as a slave or operate as a slave or think as a slave. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the hands. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just lift up these sons and daughters of you, and we just say thank you, God. You will have your way. Thank you, Lord. If there's anything in those bags, proverbially, that they can let go, that they can let go. And that you will come and reestablish, reanoint, as it were, sonship into their hearts. I pray that they will take the word, eat it, and make it their own. Not only that, Lord, that their faith will firstly be based on what the word of God says, but also then we ask for rhema words to hit their hearts as well, and for sonship to be reestablished. And we thank you for that, that you will do it in our lives and in our lives, in Jesus' name. And then secondly, it's just very simply with eyes closed, if you want to grow in relationship with God, meaning that you're going to surrender all, you might ask weird things of you, but knowing that He's a faithful, loving Father and He will take you step by step as you're obedient, as you follow. If you want to grow in relationship, can you just raise your hand if you want to grow in relationship with God? It's not for me, it's just a commitment towards the Lord. You raising your hands, not in the flesh, but in the spirit, saying, hey, Papa, Isaac. Papa, Isaac. Is wat hierdie ou sê, waar is, wil ek dit alles hê en baie meer. That's what we come ask for, God. We want a grand relationship with you. Please lead us by your grace, Lord. Forgive us wherever we've shunned away from you, or where you've dropped us off at school and thank you that we can just turn around, we can give you a hug, we can open up our arms and we say, Lord, we want to grow in relationship, we want to grow in faith. The real deal. and nothing else. That I pray in Jesus' name over all of us. It will be the real deal and nothing else. Not anything fake. Not anything perverse or twisted, but the real deal in line with God's Word, in line with God's Holy Spirit. Thank you that we will grow in relationship as sons and daughters of God. And faith will be an awesome byproduct. Trusting you, having confidence in you, knowing that you are who you are. And honoring you in Jesus' name, we plead the blood of Christ over us and our families. Amen.